Let's say John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's change it and make it first person. For God so loved me that he gave one and only son, that since I believe in him, I shall not perish, but I have eternal life. A big hand to the Lord. Amen. Amen. We enjoy God's love big time. Today, thank you worship team. I appreciate the worship team and the teams serving the altar today. Thank you very much. We are reading from Luke chapter 15, from verse 11 to 24, so I refer us to the text. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to verse 24. For those who are joining us today, and those who are following online, maybe for the first time, this has been an amazing month on the liberating power of redemption, and Pastor Ambrose has led us in the exposition. I've also been doing the same. Last Sunday, he gave away an illustrated sermon that was very powerful, and I'm picking it from there. The topic I've chosen for today is A Powerful Story of Redemption. That is the title, A Powerful Story of Redemption, and it's based on the text I'm reading now, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 24. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there, the Bible says, squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." And then in verse 17, and I want us to read this verse together. Let's read it together, verse 17. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.'" I will read verse 18. "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" As he's setting off, he's having a goal lower than what the father would actually grant him. "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate.'" We read verse 24 together. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Father in heaven, I thank you for this word. Holy Spirit, use me to bring it out. And Lord, I pray, open our hearts that we may receive it. Thank you again for the fact that we can gather on Sundays and every other time and look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we have our seats. A powerful story of redemption. And I have divided the word today in three areas. Number one, redemptive reflections. Number two, redemptive resolve. And number three, redemptive restoration. Now that is just to help us as we do the expose of this particular text here under the title, A Powerful Story of Redemption. Once again, I thank God for all of us who are here and those who are following the service in the pavilion, those who are following the service in different places here in Kenya, Africa, and around the world. And we thank God for each one of you as you celebrate the word together with us. Let me start by sharing the first one, the redemptive reflections. Going back to the text, verse 11, I'll just read once again from verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me a share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had." So at this time, he's very upbeat and he's setting off maybe to the diaspora someplace. A distant country is described, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a conspiracy of events and situations that seemed to take him downhill to the bottom of the valley. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So then now he goes on, he's hiring himself out as a slave now, and he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields and to feed pigs. The Bible says he got to such a scenario, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one, now he was so lonely, no one gave him anything. Then the scripture we say together, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." Underline, when he came to his senses. Redemptive reflections. Reflections that end up taking you in the right direction. You know, it's many times we are going the wrong direction. We are going downhill. But a time does come when you must stop and take a status assessment of your life as it is. And see whether you are going downhill or you are stationary or you are going uphill. Those moments are very important and they are very helpful. If this gentleman did not have a pause, a stop in his life, and began to look around his current status, he probably would never have experienced the redemptive journey he's about to undertake. And so, when he came to his senses, he's reflecting about his life, and he's reflecting with a view to go back to his father. When he looks around, he must have seen the pigs, he must have seen the pods, and he must have realized that he is really in a bad place. The downward slide is very subtle. It is, you don't feel it, you don't experience it, you don't quite get it until sometime down the road. Then you discover, I have actually really gone down the road. But I want to thank God that it doesn't matter how low or how far down you've gone, there's always a chance to actually come up once again. Redemptive reflections are important here in the city, in our country, even at corporate level, whatever level that is, even continental level. It is important that we come to a place of reflection, but not just reflections, but reflections that take us out of the pit and begin to take us backwards where we actually need to be. And don't be afraid to reflect. Don't be afraid to retreat. Don't be afraid to go to a quiet place. Don't be afraid of going to the mirror and looking at your life as is today. It is a very, very important spiritual exercise. And I have called it conviction. Redemptive reflections, the word conviction. Let me say that conviction is not God condemning you. Conviction is God pulling you back home. The Holy Spirit, He is the one who convicts us concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. No human being can ever bring any other human being to the place of redemptive reflections or to the place of conviction. No one is able to do that for another person. You do it for yourself. You stop because life is very busy. A lot of things are happening all around all the time. You stop, you come to the mirror, and you actually look at your life, and you begin to look at what is all around you, how the situation is. And so conviction The work of the Holy Spirit is not really a work condemning or taking you down or just to make you feel guilty. Conviction is the work of God in your life that actually takes you the direction of redemption. It takes you in the right direction. In fact, in the book of John chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 18, we just made a quote of the same verse 16, if I may have it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That was not his mission. His mission was not to make us feel, feel terrible and really feel guilty. No, while he's bringing us to the point of conviction, his mission is actually to save us. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. And therefore, I would also say, conviction is also divine light shining on a sinner. And it is important you come to God and you say, God, let your light shine around me. There was one gentleman who experienced that. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, his name was Isaiah. And the Bible says, in the year King Uzziah died. Let me just read it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And sometimes some things need to get out of your way so that you can truly have a proper assessment of your current situation and circumstances. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he saw him high, that's how he's always been, and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, interesting creatures. And they were calling to one another, holy, 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 the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. That is where Isaiah found himself. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Now, in the light of that glory, then Isaiah saw himself. In the light of that glory. And that is why I say conviction is divine light shining on a sinner. And he began to see himself in the light of God's presence. It's just like the psalmist said in Psalm 24, verse 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So when he sees himself in the light of God's glory, and this is how confession of sin, repentance, and the spiritual activities that lead you in the path of redemption actually happen. He starts saying, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And more spiritual activity continues around Isaiah as he is in God's presence and also in God's glory, to the extent he hears the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? So he shall rise beyond just forgiveness of sins to actually service, which is the highest level of calling. And that is in verse 8. And he responds to that as well. So we find this gentleman who has actually gone downstairs, and his fortunes have just been going down, down. And he's at the bottom of the valley. And he does the right thing. He comes to his senses. He considers his situation. And he actually sees that his situation has actually gone down. He is now a destitute. He is now humiliated. He is now lonely. He is now wasted. He is actually a disaster. His life is a disaster. But I want to thank God that he comes to his senses. And I pray the spirit of conviction upon the city of Nairobi. I pray the spirit of conviction upon Kenya. and the spirit of conviction upon Africa, I'm inviting the Holy Spirit, according to John 16, verse 7 to 11. John 16, verse 7 to 11. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to actually, because we must invite God, to do an awakening in our city, in our nation, and across Africa, and also around the world. And lead me and lead us to this place called conviction. And you know, it's like a fire. When you do these reflections and you start thinking about your life and your circumstances, and if your reflections are redemptive in direction, then you get to the place called conviction. Now, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him. As I preach and I speak this word and God's Spirit is speaking to you, and you're feeling where my life is, the story of the prodigal son is my story. This pastor is giving my story from that pulpit. Don't resist. The Holy Spirit beginning to stir you up from inside and begin to move you. Move with God. Do not resist God. And today I pray that every hard heart is softened in the name of Jesus Christ. Because God is looking for a broken and a contrite spirit. And therefore the Holy Spirit, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove. Well, in the new, give me New King James Version. New King James Version, around where you are, just shift to New King James Version. Then we shall be reading from verse 8. Because we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and to do his work. And when he has come, he will convict. That's the word. He will convict the world of sin. No one, no human being. Even if you take somebody to jail and keep him there for 30 years, pass whatever sentence you wish on that person. No jail system, no human being, no form of punishment can bring a human soul to the place of conviction. Only the Holy Spirit can. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Let us pray right now that this redemptive reflection and conviction would descend upon our children, upon our neighbors, upon our family members. And there must be somebody you must be thinking about in your own family, your workplace, and other places. And you have tried to change them. They have gone the way of drugs. They have gone the way of alcohol. They have gone the way of waywardness. They have become like this prodigal, entered prodigality. They are just wasting their life. And you can see it on a daily basis that this person is actually wasting their life. Every day they wake up, they're going downhill, they're going downhill, they're going downhill, they're going downhill. Let us pray for the spirit of redemptive reflection and the spirit of conviction to actually fall upon these people. Let us pray for divine light to shine on them. Let the divine mirror rise in front of them. Let us pray for an awakening to happen in their lives. God did not come to condemn anybody. God came to save the world. God came through his son to connect us to salvation. And so this gentleman here in this story, which is a nice story, is engaged in redemptive reflections that take him to a place called conviction. And this is a nice place because God likes working with a person who is actually in that place. Psalm 51 verse 17. If you just give me Psalm 51 and verse 17. David came to a place of conviction. It was after he had committed adultery. He had also committed murder. If you remember that story, the whole Psalm 51 is a penitential psalm. It's a psalm of penance. And more than 12 times, this broken man, he's not blaming anybody. He's not blaming anybody for the sin that he committed. If you read the earlier verses, he keeps saying, I have sinned against God, sinned against man, and he's just talking about I. And this is what he says in verse 17, the same Psalm, chapter 51. My sacrifice, O God, as he comes to God, in this place of conviction, redemptive reflections, he's saying, my sacrifice, O God, what I give now, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You, God, you will not despise. The prodigal son is broken. The prodigal son is in the place of conviction. He's undergoing redemptive reflections. And God will not ignore someone, a city, a nation, a continent, that are our family that has gathered together. And they have said, the sacrifice we give to God is a broken and a contrite spirit. That is what God is looking for. That is where the prodigal son is. And he has come to his senses. It's like he has woken up. It's like, it's really an awakening. It's like he was blind before. He was not seeing what was happening around himself. But now, circumstantially, he has ended up at the bottom of the valley. He can't go any lower. Thank God he comes to his senses. He wakes up. There are some people who don't wake up. And you know the program of the devil, John 10:10, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's a downward plan. That's the plan of the devil. In the first service, Pastor Ambrose, I said, the devil has transformation power, but it is negative. Yes. He has transformation power, but it is negative. It takes you down to the grave. It takes you downhill. You're looking beautiful. You're looking handsome. But if he catches hold of that life, in 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, the description will be more like this. A destitute. A disaster. But then John 10:10 goes on to say, but Jesus came that we might do what? Have life and have it abundantly. In Jesus, our Lord and Savior, there is transforming power, but transforming you up from the pit, raising you up. The devil is from up, taking you down. And he comes to this moment of crisis. He engages redemptive reflections. And he is now in deep conviction. There is a fire that is burning in him. And while he is in that moment of awakening, he remembers his father's house. And I pray for somebody in this stage of conviction, remember Jesus, remember our Heavenly Father. May the Holy Spirit work in your life right now. You can never go lower than anywhere God can actually reach you. And I thank God that he's thinking about home. He's thinking about, you know, redemption, getting out of there. And I see this guy finally saying, under the light of God's glory, this is not my destiny. I was not created to end up in this kind of mess. I see him getting to such kind of levels. And he say, I refuse this. I refuse it completely. I am going back home. He remembers his father's house. He remembers the food there. Uh-huh, hallelujah, food is important, isn't it? Yeah, he remembers the food there. And the plenty, even the servants were eating very well. Probably he remembers his room that he had before and everything that he had. And he's having these reflections. And he says, this is not my destiny. I refuse it. But number two, redemptive resolve, which is commitment. You know, if somebody just stays at the place of reflections, but does not go to the next level called resolve, from reflections to resolve, redemptive resolve. And the word here is commitment. This guy is not just appreciating his situation and also the opportunity he has ahead of him, going back to his father's house, just mentally or intellectually. No, he's also going beyond thinking to acting. And the word here is repent. The word here is repent. In verse 18 to verse 20 of the text we read, let me read it again. I will set out, that's what he's saying, and go back to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Those are three actions. I will set out. I will go back. I will say to my father. Three actions. It reminds me of Pastor Ambrose's sermon, well illustrated last Sunday, with the three, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, there are three actions that are here. Yeah, I will set out. I don't know who we can assign that. If Pastor Ambrose was the one preaching, I'm sure he would come up with some illustration of sorts here. I will set out. I will go back to my father's and I'll say to him. And there was a saying. I think we also had the saying. There was a sitting, no standing. And these are the actions that are intentional, that they are well considered. They are rising from a place of reflection and a place of conviction. And he's now entering the realm of commitment. There are a lot of people who never enter commitment. They are always at the place of reflection. They feel sorry. They cry all the time. And Pastor Ambrose, I remember the other day you say people who get saved several times. And you ask somebody whether there was somebody who has been saved several times. And I remember some people raised their hands indicating that I think conviction keeps coming. And the fire of reflection keeps coming. And they keep coming forward every other time. But I want to say we need to go past just that level and get to the level of commitment. Is anyone here committing something? And God is always asking, what are you committing? In our walk with God, we need to commit something. He says, I will arise, I will go, I will say. And God is looking for people in this redemptive journey who are going to commit something. And I wonder what it is that you are actually committing today. I have called it redemptive resolve because it is a decision, is a commitment leading redemptively. It is action out of the hole where he was, moving back to the place where God wants him to be. Jesus committed. The cross is a symbol of commitment. And Jesus gave his all, laid his life down because he loved me. He gave me his all. He died for me. And that is why I want to reciprocate. That is why I want to give him all my energy to the last breath. That's why I want to give him my everything. Because, you know, he gave his all for me. Therefore, look at the cross. Look at him at the cross. Look at the nails and that crown. He died. That's commitment. And then he went down to the grave. That's commitment. He wasn't holding back. And then he rose from the dead, which was a great day of celebration and also reward. And today he's still committed to you and to me. He even left the Holy Spirit. And he said, I will, the counselor, the Greek word, I think Pastor Ambrose, is parakletos, which is parakaleo. The one who is called paraleo, like in mathematics. And the one who is actually called alongside. And his name is the Holy, he's called the Holy Spirit. And he's been given to us so that he can be with us both day and night. And he's our counselor and he's our comforter in all the situations of life. So I have a God who is committed. God is looking for a people, a church that is committed. And God is calling us to commit something. Now what this gentleman commits is his whole life. He doesn't leave anything in the land of prodigality. When he stands up, he starts walking away, completely away. Every little step he makes, he's very hungry. His clothes are tattered. He's looking shattered. He's probably depressed. God will get somebody even from the lowest, including depression. He's everything you can imagine. Somebody went down. And Jesus himself went down to the grave. There's no anywhere lower you can go than where Jesus went. And he went that down so that he can identify with you and me. And the text of this year, Isaiah 53, covers it very well. How Jesus became the substitute. What you call the substitute or substitute sacrifice. And he went down and he also went up and he's covered the whole range. And so this guy is not alone. If you're in that position at your lowest, God is there. And he commits his whole life. His whole life is on the move. And he must not stay where he was. And that exactly is commitment. Today, God is asking us to commit something. What is it you are committing? The life, a U-turn, it is repentance. He has stopped going the wrong way. He's now committing to go back in the right direction. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 18, Nehemiah made an altar call. And he's after surveying the walls of Jerusalem. And he was making the altar call to all the people. And it was like, what are you going to commit? He had done a survey. The walls were broken down. The gates were burnt. It was time to do something. This generation, there is a lot of work to be done. It is time to do something. And every day, every moment is a moment to do something. Redemptive resolve is needed. Commitment is needed. This is Nehemiah. Then I say to them, talking to the people, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. Remember, this guy was in shame and disgrace. Now he's got to do something. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, and I like this, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. And I tell you, in 52 days, they were able to complete a major, major project. Everybody committed to do something. And so if the city is to be redeemed, Jerusalem is to be redeemed, brought back, you know, to its glory, then somebody needs to commit something. And God is saying the same thing here. He's looking for commitment. I remember in my younger days in discipleship, the person who discipled me told me the 4 D's of commitment. He taught me the 4 D's of commitment. And he told me commitment starts with desire. It goes to decision. It goes to determination. Then it goes on to discipline. And he told me, Simon, I can see God has a great future for you, but these are principles you must hold dear every day of your life. Desire, decision, determination, discipline. And a lot of people have a desire to come back home, but they just stay at the place of desire. Some show some level of determination, so they try something little here and there, but it's not consistent. You know, a bit of determination. And you know, they need to go all the way to discipline. And so what I did, Pastor Ambrose, was to determine I'm going to be a prayer warrior. And I want to be waking up at 5 a.m. to pray. So I set the clock. Alarm. Kwanza those days, remember there was the other one of Majira. Ile ngine, ilikuwa inatoa sauti ngine, krili, something like that. And of course, ikifika 5 a.m., it rings and I started off and I would pray, feel good. But after a while, I was not hearing that clock anymore. Sleep took the better of me. And although I made the decision to do it, and I started doing it, and I was determined to some extent, the discipline area became difficult. But after a while with another friend, we started working together around it and calling each other. And over time, it became a discipline, a lifestyle, you know? Became a lifestyle. And so today, I don't need an alarm clock or alarm-induced arising. I don't need that kind of induction. Today, it is part of the fabric of my life, and I enjoy prayer life. Hallelujah. Yes. And so, it's commitment that gets you to the Father's house. It's commitment that takes you from where you are to the next level. God wants something done. He wants a movement, and redemption requires commitment. I must now move on to redemptive restoration. And I want somebody to say, today I am celebrated. Somebody to say that. Not tolerated. As he moves from the place of reflection, the place of resolve, he comes now finally to the place of restoration, and he is celebrated. Celebrated in a big way. I'll just read verse 20. Let's see. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. Part of the celebration. The father comes running. The father throws his arms around him. And the father kisses him. Remember, he's dirty. But the father doesn't worry a thing. God wants you just the way you are. And doesn't matter where you came from last night, just the way you are in the right place right now in Jesus' name. And God wants you just the way you are. And then the son said to him some things he had rehearsed. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I rehearsed prayer. You know, won't do. The father goes past that. And in his grace and in his love, in his compassion and his mercy, starts, lays the king's table for the son. And triggers amazing things. I want to say that the destiny God has for you is coming back. Hallelujah. And it's coming back in its totality, and the devil can do nothing about it. God is going to do it. And today I'm praying for many young people in our villages and also our cities who are really caught up and totally lost. You go in some of these places, you see prodigality in reality. And since I travel a lot in all parts of this country, I see it all the time. And I stop and talk to these people, very drunk in drugs. And kind of they have lost hope. It's like they have lost hope. But let's pray and let's speak again that God's destiny for those people may locate them wherever they are in Jesus' name. I declare they will be celebrated, not tolerated. They will be celebrated, not destroyed. I refuse destruction upon their lives right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to join me in doing the same. You know, Pastor Ambrose, another day I went to the village and I found, got to the shopping center, and lo and behold, one of my brothers was there sitting on a motorbike, and there was another guy in front. There were two on a motorbike and both of them were very drunk. You know, so I drove next. I looked. It's my brother for real. He's looking at me and it's like he's looking past me. His eyes were looking like the front lamps of a car at night. I mean, it's just like that. It was, and he was drunk. The other guy was drunk. I don't know how they were going to do the motorcycle. I tried to engage him. I am saying things, and he's like, I'm not speaking to anybody. It's like a wall. I am saying that glory of the devil must leave. Hallelujah. The glory of God must be seen in our village shops, in the city, everywhere. This glory celebration of life must come back. And so the father does not get into the whole discussion of, tell me, where were you? Tell me, what did you do? And remember, he was given a very big chunk of money. It wasn't small. He had been there for some time in a distant country, maybe diaspora. He had gone very far, staying in hotel, from hotel to hotel, you know, like that. Then he couldn't afford hotels, and he goes down like that, comes to kiosks, and finally even kiosks, he can't get himself there. He goes out, becomes a slave. He volunteers to slave. You know, and that's what the devil does. Messes people's lives completely. Somebody who was beautiful, somebody who was handsome, somebody who was, gifted. And you look at them, you cannot believe this is the same, the same person. But let me say that the glory is coming back. Hallelujah. That glory, I want you to have a vision of that son, daughter, brother, sister who has been in prodigality. And I want to see you see a vision of them coming, being hugged, and then the glory, the restoration, the whole activity of restoration is commissioned, and this person now becomes celebrated, because that's what God wants to do with every human being on planet Earth. And today, I want to tell you, God has a good plan. Jeremiah 29:11, you know what it says? God says, I know the plans I have for you. There are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. That is what God wants with your life and also with my life. He's a God of restoration. The word restoration comes from rest. Well, restoration. So it's like orator and rest. It's an articulation. An articulation of arrival. You have reached. You have arrived. You are seated. Your feet are being washed. And the place is well aired. It's a picture of somebody who has arrived, and is a picture of somebody who is well supplied, a picture of somebody who has no need whatsoever. And therefore, redemption's goal is to bring us to this place called restoration, and redemption's goal is to bring us to the place of celebration. accepted and also restored. You know, in Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 4, a passage we read during the, I believe it was anointing service, and it's about God's favor, God's restoration, Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 4, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, Sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up, underline that, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Somebody feels that you've been a prison for so long. There's something that held you captive. Those chains are breaking right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You are going free from that dungeon. You are going free. And whoever the Son of God says free is free indeed. And release from darkness for the prisoners. I talked about God's light and light coming. The prisoners can see. They can see their way out. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. God's favor is coming in your direction. To comfort all who mourn. May God comfort you. And provide. These are big words. Beautiful words. Provide for those who grieve in Zion. Redemptive now. Provide for those who grieve in Zion. Out of the grief burden, God begins to do something. Somebody who was carrying grief, and God begins to do something. For those who grieve in Zion, and then do a special work of redemption, beautifying them, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. And this prodigal son is about to be dressed. Instead of ashes, the oil of what? Yeah, the oil of, am I seeing right? Okay, the oil of joy instead of mourning. May mourning disappear. Hallelujah. The oil of joy is coming. And a garment of praise. To do what? The garment of praise. Eh? Pastor Ambrose, I tell you, this screen sometimes plays games. And the garment of praise, instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called what? Oaks of righteousness. You and I will be called what? Oaks of righteousness, because of the redemptive work of God. And he never stops until, you know, we get to his presence. And he keeps doing it. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Let's read verse 4 together. They will rebuild the ancient, let's read it together. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long. Do you have it on the screen? Yeah, let's read it together. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Let's give a hand to the Lord. That is what, it's God working out redemption, but he completes or consummates the redemption through us. And God therefore uses you and me as an instrument, wherever God has put us, in the workplace, to complete the work he started. And we go out there and we become redeemers together with the Redeemer. Because that is the goal of redemption, that I may become a co-worker with God. So this redemptive restoration leads to a celebration. And let me read verse 20 to 24, or 22 and 23. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Alad 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So there is a robe for everybody, a robe paid for by Jesus, a redemptive robe. You don't have to pay a cent for it. And this son, although he has wasted his life, he can't afford this robe. He has wasted. He came with nothing. He has come back with nothing. But the father has the robe. And he says, quick, get this robe. And you know, this was a robe of honor. It was a robe of sonship. It was a robe to say righteousness restored. In other words, your past is dealt with. Your past is sorted out. Past is forgiven. I, the father, I acknowledge you as son. You are entering sonship again. I honor you. And you are right. You are in the right place. And righteousness is back. And the robe, therefore, is placed on this gentleman. God is able to cover our shame. He's able to cover our failure. He's able to cover our nakedness. And even in the Garden of Eden, God slaughtered an animal. and he brought the skin of the animal because they were in shame. Adam and Eve in failure, but God in his compassion and in his amazing love made skin from animal, the first fabric, the first garment activity you find. And he came and dressed them up. Must have looked very nice. Leather, you know, well treated by God. They must have been looking very beautiful. You see, that's what God does. And he gets the finest robe, the most expensive robe, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and puts it on you. And not just the robe, he goes on, there is the ring. This is authority restored. In the Old Testament, it's called the signet ring. It represented the king and his kingdom. And so the father gives him authority again and grants him the ring that he would seal decisions with. You know, sealing, approval everywhere. The authority is back. This guy can now command something, command somebody, and there will be activity somewhere. But before that, he could even shout and there will be no movement. Because that voice is not recognized. That voice doesn't carry authority. That voice doesn't carry power. He was lonely. People had deserted him. But suddenly, a ring is put on him. Authority restored. But also, the sandals. Freedom restored. Slaves walked bare feet. But the ones who are free men and free women, they wore sandals. And so sandals are significant. And he's being given the freedom of the city, the freedom of the home, the freedom of the property. And now he can step like Joshua, Joshua 1:3. Everywhere the foot of your soul shall step, I have given to you. And therefore, he now can step everywhere, move this way and move the other way. The sandals were also used as a sign of agreement during the time of Boaz and Ruth. He gave a sandal to show commitment that he would marry Ruth. So this is a very significant thing. This guy can transact. And he has sandals. But finally, the feast. Joy restored. The feast. Joy restored. When you read Psalm 126, the story of restoration there, it says laughter came back. You know, Psalm 126. Laughter. We were like people who dreamt. You know, let me just read it. Go back to verse 1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams of Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. I prophesy this one. Hallelujah. Yes, you will reap, you will sing again, you will laugh again, you will rejoice again. And those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return. Yes, prophetic again. You go sowing, there's a prophecy here, you will return with songs of joy, carrying what? She's with them. So every seed you plant will go to harvest. And there is no seed you plant will get lost. Every initiative, every effort will bring returns. And you shall walk in the overflow, I prophesy. There are people who labor for long, but there are no returns. This is a celebration, redemptive restoration, and therefore God is saying, the power of the seed is back. As you go and plant, it shall produce 30, 60, 100 fold. The ears the cankerworms have eaten, what will the Lord do? Yes, and there's a way Pastor Ambrose presents it, which I like very, 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 I like it. I really like it. So the locusts have eaten, but God is coming. Hallelujah. So this guy has been moved now from the table of pigs to the table of the Father. That is redemption. From that table of waste, where he was a disaster and humiliated, and he was a slave, to the seat of kings, together with his father. He has been raised from nothing. Now he's been given assets once again. That is what the business God is in. And that's why you connect with this salvation. It is redemptive. It is powerful. It can pick you from anywhere if you are sick, from that sickness to healing, and really bring you back up. And so today, as I do the prayer, I'm just speaking to somebody who is saying that I will not walk as a slave anymore. I will, I am returning to my Father. My shame is broken. My sin is forgiven. My identity is restored. I receive the robe. I receive the ring. I receive the sandals. I engage the feast. My season of wandering ends today. My season of sonship continues and starts now. And somebody is saying, God is restoring what sin stole, my dignity, my authority, my confidence, my joy. I will be celebrated and not tolerated. I am a son, not a hireling. I am an heir, not a tenant. I believe somebody is sitting and connecting with this prophetic flow and anointing right now. And somebody is saying, Pastor, as you pray, the story of that person is my story. And today, as you do the prayer, I'm coming back home. I am taking a redemptive decision. And I'm showing commitment today. And I want to come to the table of celebration. And the devil will not stop it. Somebody is saying, Pastor, you're talking about me. That's my story. The story of my family. The story of my village. It needs redemption. The story of my nation. Somebody is sitting there and he's saying. And I'm here saying, the Father is waiting. Hallelujah. In fact, he ran. And he comes with open arms. The sign of the cross. That is a symbol of his love. And then he brings those hands around you. You can see that in the spirit. And then hugs you, a proper hug. They call it a bear hug. And then kisses you. And the Father calls the party. I am saying, you're saying it's my story. Yes, it is our story. And God will not rest until redemption is consummated. God will not rest until I sit at the king's table. He will not rest until I sit at my Father's table. And in the totality of destiny, we shall end up in his presence. And there is going to be a glorious party. And we shall sit there and worship and praise God forever. Because when a sinner comes to the Lord, heaven rejoices. And that is our final destiny. But even now, while we are here, God is bringing laughter. He's a God of restoration. I'm praying, and I'm trusting God for somebody who is just saying, Pastor, my journey of wandering is done. My journey downhill is finished. From today, I am going up, and from today, I'm experiencing redemption. I will connect with God's plan for my life, which is good, and I refuse the devil's plan for me and also for anything about me, and I just want to get to that place where God wants me to be. I see you crowned, I see you robed, I see you with shoes, I see you with signet rings, I see you dancing and celebrating. Hallelujah, yes, we can give a hand to the Lord. And I see you dining the best meat, hallelujah, and the best juice. Let me say juice, because if I say drink, that can go another way. But I see you dining. I see you at the table. Like Mephibosheth, God's kindness has remembered you. You are being picked from Lo Debar, and you are being brought to Jerusalem. And you are brought to the king's table. And the king is saying, pig's stay is not your home. This one is your home. Enjoy everything here. All these assets and property is yours. That is where God is bringing us. And so, Pastor Ambrose, the message of redemption is the most powerful message I believe that can be shared, because it's about what God really wants to do for us. Lift us, move us from here to there and make us better. So I am praying and ask us to stand up. Let's all stand up as we pray. And Pastor Kiniti will be coming to do the benediction. Yes, let's pray. Almighty God, I want to thank you so much for this story. The story of redemption, and it is the story that Jesus, you came to pay for. When you went to the cross, the transaction at the cross was so that that story of redemption, like we sang in the song, this is my story, this is my song, may become the story and the song of every nation, may become the story and song of every family, every city, may become the song, the story and the song of every individual. My God, I thank you for that redemptive power that lift that gentleman from eating with pigs, from the pig's table to the king's table where he is celebrated. I thank you for that power. And my God, I know that power is here, the convicting power, the committing power, celebration power. Holy Spirit, you are here. That same power is present in the 21st century. That same power is available for each one of us. And that is why, even as I pray, somebody is here saying, that is my story. And Pastor, I want to have redemptive thoughts, not destructive thoughts. I want to have redemptive thoughts. Pastor, I want to have a redemptive resolve. Lord, Pastor, I just want to enter redemptive celebration. And you're saying, it's my story. God is here in the fullness of his power, this altar call. For many, all the years, it belongs to the Lord. And God is calling from this place to the nations. Nations. Those in the pavilion and those who are here in the sanctuary, those who are following online, God is calling. You're saying, this is my story. I want to activate by this prayer the consummation of this redemptive journey and bring you to the place where the power of God will rest upon you. And I decree and declare you will see God's hand in a way you have never seen before. Where you are at, you can get to the next level. And God will do it. In your strength you can't, but in God's power you can. And therefore, if you are the one there and you are saying, I'm connecting to salvation. I am connecting to the saving hand of God. That hand that pulled that guy up back to the Father's house. That story is my story. You don't have to wait any longer. Wherever you are, you can lift your hand. God will see that hand. Pastor Kiniti, come up here. Pastor Kiniti is with me here. You can raise that hand. Wherever you are, just raise it. Just raise it. I can see one hand right out of another one. Two hands. I can see two more hands there. There's a hand here. Pastor Kiniti, you can see. You can see all these hands everywhere. Those hands. Yes, you are saying, this is my story. And God is changing that narrative. We sang about the blood of Jesus today. We celebrated the blood of Jesus with many songs. The blood of Jesus is the one that makes it possible. And therefore, I want you to pray this prayer because you say, this is my story. And you can pray from where you are. And you say, Lord Jesus, I now become aware that what you have in store for me is more than what I'm experiencing now. Where I am and what I'm seeing, God, I know you have much more for me. And therefore, pray with me. I decree and declare, this is not my destiny where I am. I am arising. I am walking. And I am going to my Father's house. Because what is there is mine. And pray this prayer with confidence. Don't ask for anything less. Don't ask to become a hireling. You are a son. Don't ask to be a hireling. And you can pray and you say, now I walk back to my Father's house. Devil, get out of my way. I am unstoppable. And Father, I pray for the one who is praying this prayer, that Lord, they begin to have a vision of the Father, that right now, in Jesus' name, you receive the embrace of heaven. You'll even feel some warmth. The embrace of heaven, the kiss of heaven, the reception of heaven, the acceptance of heaven. I'm praying right now in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood of Jesus, you receive the acceptance of heaven, the forgiveness of sins of heaven, and that you be welcomed. I am seeing you right now getting the robe and the ring and the sandals I'm seeing a crown of glory put upon your head. I'm seeing a celebration and a heaven celebrating because of you. And I declare that you are now back in God's house, and go and testify that I'm now back in God's house, and I'm going to enjoy everything that is mine in God's house. You are no longer sitting with pigs. You are now sitting as a son in the table of the Father's house. And you are crowned, and you are honored. Authority is back, and God is with you. And therefore, go home confessing that. And I pray, don't leave in a hurry. See Pastor Kiniti or see one of the deacons and just say, I have made this decision. My God, I want to thank you for all those in the pavilion, online, and also here who have made profound decisions as a sign of resolve. And I thank you for their commitment in raising their hand. And because of that, and by faith, God, I know that you've started a new chapter, a new season and dispensation as far as they are concerned. So the old is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The new has come, and you are a new creation. But there are many others here who have sensed the call to serve God in your business, serve God through your home, serve God in whichever way. But for some reason, the commitment level has never come. You can also pray the prayer and you say, here I stand, here I walk, here I go to my Father's house. I will do the Father's business. And you can join Isaiah in saying, here I am, Lord, send me. So my God, I thank you so much. Thank you so much. And therefore now, I decree and declare a season of celebration. And I declare every tear wiped. I declare laughter back. I declare full restoration. And whatever the cankerworms have eaten, the Lord has restored. And I do so in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we all say, let's give a big hand clap to Jesus.
Let us celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody, you have a testimony of what the Lord is doing in our midst. Hallelujah, some celebration to the King of Kings. Amen. Let us also celebrate the man of God, Reverend Simon. Thank you very much, Reverend Simon, for that powerful word. Indeed, we are blessed to receive that word in Jesus' name. If you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, please don't leave. Come forward, and I'll be requesting Deacon Gakunju and Pastor Edith to just step forward. I'll be joining you there in the moment. Please don't go, and those who are at the pavilion, I know we have leaders there, the deacon who is there, just step to the front. Please connect with that deacon, connect here with myself, Deacon Gakunju, and Pastor Edith. We want to walk with you. We don't want the enemy to snatch that which has been planted in your heart today. We want to nurture it so that it can grow and produce fruit in Jesus' name. Those who are visiting with us, please make your way to the Zuriel building at the Karibu Center. You can talk to any of our ushers and they will show you the Karibu Center, because we want to have some moment with you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This week, may you walk in redemption. On Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, may you experience the fullness of God and his goodness in your life. For this is your blessing, this is your portion, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And God's people say, amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom, and God bless you.